Now, the subject, an Old Testament prophet, comes to a New Testament age. You love the Lord tonight, say amen. Amen. Everybody got Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter now, the 15th verse. Amen. Let us begin reading the Word of God. I like the Word of God, don't you? It's more precious, amen, than anything, than gold or silver or whatever man might gain in this world. The Word says, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my Word shall abide forever. Amen. All right, now reading the Word of the Lord. It reads like this. The Lord thy God will raise up in thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Hobart this day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. I want to stop there and notice there. The people requested of the Lord one thing. Said, let not the Lord speak to us any more like he did. If you remember reading, we're not going to back up and get it all, but how the Lord spoke to the people and the mountain shook and smoke and thundering and lightning and so forth, and the people become scared. They said, let not the Lord speak to us any more. And God, he granted their request, but God said, I'll raise up a prophet. See, I'll raise up a prophet. Now we'll continue with verse 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among thy brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he, notice, he, the prophet, shall speak in my name, I will cry of him. Now, I want to stop there just a moment to say this. Now, this prophecy here is pointing mainly to Jesus Christ when he was to come as a prophet in the likeness of when Jesus Christ was coming and would be like unto Moses coming, a great prophet, God is speaking. But in reading and close studying of the Old Testament, which we'll get into further, we find that God always raised up a prophet in the Old Testament age when he wanted to get the Word of the Lord out. Is that right? Together. The Word of the Lord come only to the Old Testament prophets in Old Testament time. See? Not, see, now New Testament, the reason I want you to say it, to get this nailed down, when this took place, because we're going to get over in New Testament age after a while, and we're going to bring this out, and I hope the Lord will help you tonight to see it. Amen. Now, and we'll try to present, as we've said, in order to make it readable, to get it in book form. All right, notice now, we begin that God raised up Old Testament prophets to send his word by, right? Remember, the people requested, said, don't let the Lord speak to us anymore like that. Remember when God spoke and the mountains shook and lightning flashed, and Moses said, I was exceedingly scared and trembled. The people said, don't let God speak to us lest we die. God said, I'll raise them up a prophet. See? In every age, God did raise up them a prophet. So every time God wanted to speak to the people, he raised them up a prophet. And the word came only to that prophet in Old Testament times. The word came only to that prophet. All right, to further prove this statement, let us turn now, let's get us over into in New Testament times, Hebrews chapter 1, and further prove this statement. Hebrews chapter 1, to show you that the word of the Lord came only to the prophets in Old Testament times. Now the main reason, and this is the reason this is so pressing, is because people have tried to put Old Testament times over in the New Testament dispensation. And the need is great for this to be brought out and open up and cleared up to the people. So that's the purpose of this tonight. And I'm sure as we finish tonight, you'll see it. Alright, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Reads like this. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past. Notice,
He spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, how did God speak in times gone by or times past? By the prophets. Is that right? What the word of the Lord said. That's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God spoke in days gone by. He spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Amen. Now notice something new coming in. Notice this has changed now since we're in New Testament age. All right, notice verse 1. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the world. All right, now notice God spoke in old time, in the Old Testament time, only by prophets, not by priests, not by a king, but only by a prophet. Amen. Now I want you to get the title of the message tonight. The title of the message is An Old Testament Prophet in a New Testament Dispensation or a New Testament Age. And I'll show you why the prophet that we had always referred to the Scripture, and he repeated the same thing the Old Testament prophet did. He said the Word of God comes only to the prophets. He had to say it that way to identify what dispensation his spirit was of. Because remember, he had the spirit of Elijah upon him. Now, we want to prove this by turning to Malachi 4 and 5 to show you that the prophet for this age, William Brown, had an Old Testament prophet spirit upon him. And that is why he quoted Old Testament scriptures, because it had to identify what dispensation he was of. Turn with me now to Malachi 4, beginning with verse 5. It says, Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now in verse 6 here, we have two parts fulfillment. Part A and Part B. Part A fulfillment was Luke 1 and 17. I'll turn and read you that if you like. Luke 1 and 17 shows you who turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. I want to show you Part A and Part B fulfillment of the Scripture. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 17, we'll find out that this prophecy had a twofold meaning. And it referred to two prophets, but both prophets had the same spirit upon them. Remember now, the spirit of Elijah comes five times. Comes first on the original Elijah the prophet, then on Elisha, then on John the Baptist, which we're fixing to read about, then on Malachi 4 for our age, which was none other than William Branham, and then in Revelation chapter 11, it comes the fifth time on another man, and this time it's to the Jew. Moses with him, Moses and Elijah. Revelation 11, the very works of the ministry is recorded. All right, let's see Luke 1, 17, to see what man fulfilled the first part of this, part A. It says, and he shall go before him. Wait, I suppose we ought to read a little above this in order to get the meaning of it. Let's begin with verse 13 and read through 17. Then you will see clearly it's speaking of John the Baptist. It says, but the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayers is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord thy God. Now listen. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, look, he shall go before him. Who? John shall go before the Lord in the spirit
and the power of Elias, right? Is that what the Word says? All right, John was the forerunner of his first coming, is that right? Then he had the spirit of Elijah on him. All right, notice in reading further, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now what did he do? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, right? Now, the prophecy we read in Malachi 5 and 6 here, it says that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the father. But here, when we read about John coming, he only fulfilled half of that verse of Scripture. See? All right, he was the forerunner of the first coming of the Lord. All right, let's finish that, and then we'll get more Scripture, because we've got a lot to deal with. And the disobedient to the wisdom of just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now notice, what was this Spirit sent for? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now I'll drop in something here you might not have heard before. This Spirit comes three times to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, you probably hadn't heard that one, have you? First on John the Baptist for the first coming of the Lord. Second on the Elijah prophet, William Branham, for this age to prepare people for the second coming of the Lord. Then on the Jew in Revelation 11 to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord again. Not the coming of the Lord to get his bride, but the coming of the Lord to set up a millennial reign. Glory to God, will we live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Glory to God, I'm telling you, it's wonderful to look into God's Word and see these great nuggets laying here. Amen. All right, now we've got so much to deal with tonight, we're just going to have to hurry along on getting these things. Now, we find out that God did send an Old Testament prophet to this age, right? He said he would do it to prepare, to turn the hearts of the children to the Father. Now, what is that message to do? The message of the prophet is to turn us back to what Peter, Paul, James, and John, and the apostles preach, right? They are the fathers. How many will agree to that? All right, but the first coming of Elijah with the Spirit on John the Baptist was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. See, the children went out and accepted John. What did he say went out and accepted him? Not the religious people of that day, but just the common people. Amen. Even the harlots and the sinners went out and were baptized of John, where the religious world rejected him, right? And they came to find out, so we come down here from the Pharisees to see who gave you this authority. What you're doing. Amen. Jesus said, ah, you generation of vipers, you said, you bring, or John did, you bring forth fruit meat for repentance, you don't be baptized. You got to bring forth some fruit. You got to live right. You can't have just a theology. See? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children that have accepted this, and preparing a people for the coming of the Lord. Now, it would look from all natural standpoints that John failed, because the synagogues didn't stop their worship. They didn't go down and be baptized. They went right on. See? Now, notice this, because here's a great truth we'll get to later in this age. They went right on worshiping. They went right on slaying the sacrifice daily. They went right on offering the evening oblation, but God was doing a new thing and they missed it. See? It would look like John failed, didn't it? No, but he didn't fail because there was a small elected group that caught the revelation and went out and was baptized and realized that John had a message. Right? See? But the synagogues of the day went right on, and it's the same thing now. They're going right on. All right, we can read in Acts 19 where after the revelation really broke of what God was doing and Christ had already been crucified, some of John's disciples were rebaptized because John didn't teach them, you believe only what I say. Not necessarily. Because John said, I must decrease, but he must increase. I baptize you unto repentance. Amen. And they were baptized under repentance, saying this to the people, that they should believe on Christ when he comes. Right? Now, John didn't say, you get in a rut now and you stay right here. There's no more truth to come forth. This is all of it. I'm completing the whole revelation of God. But quite the contrary. He said, I'm the only preaching this as a forerunner. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Believe on him when he comes.
forget what I've said. My message is just to get you to see him. See? Now, what did he say in Acts 19? Paul, finding a certain disciple over at Ephesus, he asked them, said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And they said, "We don't even know whether there be a Holy Ghost or not." And Paul asked them, said, "Unto what were you baptized then?" They said, "We were the same man baptized us that baptized Jesus, John the Baptist." Paul said, "That was fine in John the Baptist's day." But said, if you'll notice, John's message pointed to Jesus, saying that you should believe on him when he should come. And the Bible says when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands on, they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. See, John didn't tell them it was all it was, neither did this prophet of our day. Now notice John fulfilled part B, or part A of that. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. All right, the Elijah for this day fulfilled part B of it, saying his message was to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. You see that? Part A, part B. Somebody said, well, that's just talking about John the Baptist. Then if it was, then Malachi sure erred when he wrote it, because he said, when this prophet comes, the earth's going to be burned and so on and so forth like that. Amen. The righteous going to walk out on ashes. It didn't do it in John's day, did it? Huh? It didn't do it. Amen. But since this prophet has sounded forth, amen, it's got to come. But we know, since we're so close to the end of this age, that spirit's to come one more time before God's burned the earth. Come on now. Can you say amen? Glory to God. But see, God has hid these things, reserved them for the end time. All right, now, we got here. God gave his word only to the prophet in Old Testament time, right? Amen. Only to the prophets. All right, but we find here John coming opened up a new dispensation of time. And we find as John came on the scene, preached his message, we see it was turning from Old Testament dispensation to New Testament. John was a come-between. John came between the Old Testament and the New Testament to fill in there, to tie everything in together, saying that Jesus was to come. All right? And Jesus did come, as John said. Now watch, as we come into New Testament dispensation, watch how God ministered to the people. Amen. If you can be able to get this, you'll be very wise. Amen. Now, much people of the message today have never got out of the Old Testament, so to speak. They're still saying the word comes only to the prophet. You get any revelation, you say, God showed me something, they'll say, well, you must be a prophet then. You're trying to make yourself a prophet. One minister said to me recently, said, I was talking about God revealing things. He said, well, I don't find in the Word of God where God said there will be any more prophets. Said, the Word doesn't say there will be any more prophets. I said, that's true. God's Word didn't say there would be another Old Testament prophet to come to a New Testament age. But in the ministering office, there is prophets, plural. Amen. Now, many people have contended because Paul was the messenger to the first church age, that Paul was a prophet. But the Word of God, Paul out of his own mouth saying, I am an apostle, ordained to be apostle of Gentiles, and I magnify my office. Now, if this seems a little fuzzy to you right now, maybe it'll clear up as we go on just which way we're going tonight. Amen. Because right here at the end of it, we want to show you how God picked up and set an Old Testament prophet down in this age. And while he was here, the word came only to the prophet. Back like it was in Old Testament time. To restore the truth back to the children. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. To restore our faith back to the faith of the Father. But when God took the man off the scene, it goes right back to the New Testament ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 All right. Now, we got much scripture to deal with here tonight. We're going to read many places showing you the ministry of the New Testament. All right, turn with us now to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. And we're going to begin to probe into the New Testament ministry, seeing what God has for us. But God has got to tie together perfectly. There cannot be a contradiction. Amen. One scripture cannot cut another scripture, y'all. If it does, your revelation's wrong. All right, turn to Romans 11. Amen. We're reading verse 13. Romans 11, verse 13. Have you got it? Now here's Paul speaking. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentile, I magnify mine office. What did Paul say his office was now? He said his office was an apostle, right? He said, I magnify my office. I'm proud of my office. I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, let's flip back to Romans 1, chapter 1. We'll see again what Paul said he was. Now, we're going to an extreme on reading these scriptures. Amen. So when it goes in the book form, people can dig it out and see their scripture. Amen. For everything we say tonight, while on this tape, we're going to use scripture for it. I know for the church here, I could just quote a scripture, may not even quote it completely right. You'd catch it. You'd know what I was talking about. But for this, we want to be sure to get scripture in everywhere we make a statement. Notice Paul, Romans chapter 1. Said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. All right? What did he say there? He was called to be an apostle, right? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I'm feeling something now. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Amen. We're going to turn here to several places. Amen. So it'll give you some exercise, at least turning the pages in your Bible. Amen. Probably some of you haven't been turning any. Amen. So it'll give you a chance, right? Glory to God. We're going to read 1 Corinthians, first chapter, first verse. And we're going to do some more that way. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Amen. All right. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians 1 and 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and 1. Now, if you don't like the Word of God, you're going to be getting pretty miserable after a while. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Because we're going to read plenty of it tonight. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. What did it say? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Asia. All right, we find here Paul again saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Right? I'm going to show you where there are some prophets, some evangelists after a while. But we want to clarify this and get this cleared up first, what Paul was. All right, 2 Corinthians 12th chapter and 12th verse. Flip over with me to the 12th chapter and read the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12 and 12. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and in mighty deeds. Amen. Paul talking about his ministry here, what God done by him, and said the signs of apostles has been wrought among you. Amen. Glory to God. Then what was the signs of an apostle? We're going to get on the authority of an apostle after a while, and we'll cover some of those things. All right, notice again, the apostle there, showing forth that the New Testament ministry is not necessarily the word comes only to the prophet. Amen. Glory to God. If you can learn this, you'll be wise. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. It's right online. Just flip a few pages and you'll get it. Galatians. Galatians 1 and 1. Amen. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. All right? Amen. Glory to God. But Paul says, the Lord has made known to me mysteries that's been hid from the foundation of the world. God don't give all His revelation at one whack. Amen. If He gave us all the revelation, amen, that this entire book tonight, then from now on out, we'd have to come back to the church and just hear somebody going over the same thing again and again, never getting anything new, right? Is that right? Amen. But we're eagles. Amen. And we've got to have a fresh kill every day. We've got to keep a fresh revelation coming from heaven, right? Amen. So that's the way any subject you take in the Word of God, God started out revealing little by little, little by little, little by little, until He got up to the time we're at. Almost the whole truth is revealed, but there's still nuggets hid in the Word of God. But as time progressed on, God raised up a man and sent him forth with a message to be an apostle of the Gentiles. Amen. Now you get your mind working here. Glory to God. Amen. You want truth? Hallelujah to God. Many people, they want truth till it starts coming, then they can't stand it. Amen. But God's going to have a church that's going to take truth. Right? Amen. In the book of Acts, glory to God, they were called everything from preachers to prophets and teachers. Amen. Before the divine revelation of the fivefold ministry was ever given. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. There was a powerful ministry in the book of Revelation, or in the book of Acts. Amen. And no doubt the fivefold ministry was there, but the revelation haven't come as to what was what, who was in what office. They call some of them evangelists. Praise God, but the revelation still haven't come. The revelation came to Paul. How many will agree that Paul was a writer of the book of Ephesians? Now, do you see how this thing began to shape up? Amen. Unless you can see it, I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll go out of here tonight the most confused person you've ever been. But remember, Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Amen. To them that disobey, but to them, amen, that believe, He's precious. He's wonderful. Glory to God. Amen. If you believe this word and can get the revelation, He's precious to you. Praise God. If you can't see it, I can't help it. Jesus said if this gospel be hid, it's hid to who? Them that's lost. Amen. I tell you, in the name of the Lord, this message is necessary. This message, you've got to understand it. Amen. Especially the ministry. Now catch this, if you ever caught anything, what happened when the revival fire began to burn along and about the middle of the 40s? There were big revivals, right? Many times when they had their big campaigns, you couldn't get a motel room or something within 30 miles of a town. People flocking there, they would fill it up. Amen. But nobody knows what each other was. Everybody's just a preacher. Come on now. Wasn't necessarily a prophet or a teacher or evangelist or this, that, and the other. Everybody was just preaching. Glory to God. But now the crowd's gone and they begin to fall in little places. Amen. God's got to send back divine order just like He did in the days of Paul. But what happened? Paul, he began to bring forth a specific message to the church. What did Paul do first? What did Paul do first, Brother Claude? He went all over creation preaching to the Gentiles, right? But notice then he came back, he would stay 2 years in one place teaching the Word. And the Bible says they went to the groups, amen, and to set them in order. God, we've already got the net out, or we've pulled them in. Now we've got to have the place to put the fish. Glory to God. Can you see it? The same thing has happened in the day we're living in. Glory to God. Preachers went forth, they preached. They pulled many people in. They've attracted many people's attention. They've got many people believing in this Pentecostal message. Fact is, in one year there, more people won to the Pentecostal faith than all the other faiths put together. But where are they at now? Amen. Something happened, just as it did in the days when the apostles began to go off the scene. They had them that followed Paul, they had them that followed Pilate, they had them that followed different ones. And some of them began to say, we got to be circumcised now and follow Moses' law. 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Where some of the preachers begin to come forth, say the resurrection is already past. Remember Paul saying the resurrection. What was it? They went out and they made disciples. They began to bring them into specific places to worship. But when they did that, there came every kind of doctrine could be thought of came in with it. Every preacher had his doctrine. There was no authority. Other than they'd go to the apostles, something come up at Jerusalem. But in the local church. But then one day Paul got a revelation. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4 now. Amen, we're going to crisscross out and back here and use scripture. Amen, but when we get through tonight, amen, you will have heard a lot of scripture. And I doubt if you can keep all this in your mind and keep it separated. That's why you need to get the tape. All right, notice now. In Ephesians 4, let's start with verse 7. Ephesians 4, to save time, we could read the whole thing. Oh, glory to God. We're going to show you what the ministry is for anyway. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, what gift is he talking about? He's talking about the ministering gifts here. Not the nine gifts in the church necessarily. Not at this time. Of course, if you've got one, God give you knowledge after a while to show you how to operate. But right here he's talking about the ministering gift. Wherefore, when he ascended on high, he led captive and gave gifts unto men. Right here proves that he's not talking about any gifts other than the ministering gift, because he gave only to the men. He gave the nine spiritual gifts to men and women, right? But there's five gifts that no women can't have. Don't matter if they fast 40 days or what they do, they still can't have, Brother JT. There's five gifts. All right, let's see what the five gifts are. Now, he that ascended, why is it? But that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Now, what's the first office? Apostles. Right? That's what Paul was. He was an apostle. He said, my office is apostle. Though he was called teacher, prophet, and everything else before it was set in divine order. Right? Notice over there what we read, where there are teachers and prophets at Antioch in the name of a bunch of people. Notice they were all called apostles start with, and then they began to call them different names as the revelation began to break forth. See? All right, let's read further now. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, notice in the Old Testament time, get a revelation here, and get the title of the message. An Old Testament prophet comes to a New Testament age. Now, I want to drop this in, but we're going to get to it a little later on the end, but to catch this up right here. God sent Brother Brown here with the spirit of Elijah on him. There was no fivefold ministry. And when he came, the word came to one man, one source, to get this thing straight now. And what was it do? The message that Brother Brown brought was to restore our faith, or restore us back to the Word, the faith of the fathers, right? But was God going to perfect the church with an Old Testament prophet? Absolutely not. God never does. He never has. He never will. Because God set something in divine order, and God, which cannot change, has got to restore it back. Glory to God. But first he had to send forth a message to stir the people, to get them back to the Word, or to get them believing in Christ, which was the Word, right? See, in that day, here's the difference our day and that day. The apostles went forth getting them only believe on the name of Jesus Christ. That was the message. What did Philip preach when he went down to Samaria? He preached Christ to them. What did they all preach? They went and preached that there was a man that God's already come, that he was in Jesus Christ, he was crucified. He died on the cross for your sin. Will you accept him? Do you believe it? They said, I believe. He took them and baptized them right then without giving an altar call. Glory to God. See, they were preaching Christ to them. Well, we're preaching Christ, the Word, back to the church. But the church world claim they believe in Christ is the difference that we've got to see, we've got something to contend with different what they had. See, the people believe in the heathen gods and four or five gods and this, that, and the other. Well, they still believe in three. Amen. But they claim they believe in Christ. But when they preach that Jesus was the Christ, they crucified him. They stoned him. They put him in jail. But Christ is the Word. We go up here and preach the Word, they'll do us the same way if we preach Christ to them for the age that we're living in. See? You see the difference? Amen. You go up some old drunk, you believe Jesus Christ? Why, sure I do. You go down here to the Baptist church, you believe Jesus? Why, sure I do. Go to the Catholic church, you believe Jesus? Why, sure, that's what we'll build on. Any of them, ask them, they say, we believe Christ. See, but that's what the apostles were preaching. They were preaching Christ. Once they got a group of people believing that Jesus was the Christ, then they began to bring forth certain things out of the Word of God and set certain places up in divine order for the people to meet and worship God. When they did that, there had to be a pastor. But before that, didn't necessarily need a pastor. Because they're just going everywhere preaching. Everybody just crying and giving belief that Jesus was the Christ. Right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Same thing in our day. God sent a prophet to restore us back to the Word. But what have we been doing, and what are we doing now? We're preaching the Word. Amen. And all the big evangelists, they began to preach the Word. Amen. Though there were apostles, prophets, and teachers, that's what they was, because Jesus gave them the gift before he left. Or when he left, when he ascended and came forth, he gave the gifts unto men. But he didn't tell them. He didn't set in divine order. There had to be one job done before these other gifts were manifested. He had to get the group of people believing that Jesus was the Christ. He had to get some local places for them to begin to worship God in. Then when he did, he said in the church, first apostles, second prophets, and thirdly teachers, and so forth. Right? Glory to God. All right, if I've left you, let me show you something. Now, God, how many believe God's going to perfect this church? Is he going to do it? That's what the Word says he's going to do, right? Then how is he going to do it? By fivefold ministry. Five offices coming back to the church first. Well, look at the Word of the Lord now. Now, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Oh, praise God. Don't you see it, people? Glory to God. He never promised to restore church by Elijah the prophet. Can you see it? The man had to go off the scene to make room for a ministry. Right? Glory to God, amen. He sent an Old Testament prophet to a New Testament age to restore back the Word. Now look, Jesus came Praise God, he had all these offices in him, one man. Amen. He was a shepherd or the pastor. He was evangelist. He was a great teacher. He was a pastor. And he was apostle. All right, now look. God sent one man, an Old Testament prophet, not part of the New Testament ministry. I want to say that again and get that good. He sent a man that was not part of the New Testament ministry. He sent an Old Testament prophet to a New Testament age to restore back the truth. And then he took him off the scene. What did God? What was the man? When he was here, all five of these ministering offices was in the one man. God wasn't trying to set nothing in order by the one man. Everybody just ran all over creation, holding revival. Right? Was people trying to get people back to the Word? No, they was preaching a little healing, having a lot of shouting and singing, and everybody was happy, wasn't too concerned about the deep things of the Word of God. Right? Amen. That one man had all these offices in him. Because he was not part of the New Testament ministry, God just poured all this in him to bring back truth. Right? Now, how many will agree he was an Old Testament prophet in a New Testament age? I'm talking about the Spirit on him. Not the man, the Spirit on him. The Spirit on him was the Spirit of Elijah the prophet. Now, I've got many of Brother Brown's tapes back here in the office. On many of them tapes, he will quote this scripture. He'll say, now, remember, the Word comes only to the prophet. He keeps stressing that. The Word comes only to the prophet. Not these others, nobody else, to the prophet. Right? Is that what he says? Over and over and over again. What did the people do of this message? They heard that statement without any divine revelation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They begin to say nobody can get revelation but a prophet. Because the Word come only to the prophet. Sure, the Word came only to the prophet in Old Testament age. But what did we read in Hebrews? That God, in sundry times, in divers places, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but in this last day spoken to us by His Son. Right? Glory to God. Can you see the change from Old Testament to New Testament? Glory to God. How do He perfect the church? By a fivefold ministry. Now I want to show you now in the book of Acts, before this gospel really got divinely divided out and set in its right portion, which the church, as you will notice, the church went off the scene, began to drift back into idolatry before it absolutely reached the stage of perfection. Because Paul said there is heresy among you even now, and when I leave, men right among your own self are going to rise up and draw disciples after themselves. What did God do? He let us see what the last day church would be by what the first church was. But the first church wasn't to reach perfection, because when it reached perfection, it'll be raptured. Can you see it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But this last day church gonna get away from everything. Amen. Go get away from all creeds, all dogma. Amen. They're not going to be concerned about anything but this Word. Stay with it. Amen. They're not going to be concerned about how much they can shout, though there'll be a shouting. They're not going to be concerned about how many gifts they got, though there'll be some gifts. They want this Word. Glory to God. They're not going to be seeking after the gift of tongues so much. They're going to be seeking after the giver. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Then God will give gifts as He have ordained. But the Bible says He'll give them gifts as severally as He will. Amen. No big preachers, but that's what we've seen. But what's God doing? He's doing a strange and mysterious work. He's bringing a ministry to perfection. And I'll guarantee you this, the church will never be brought to perfection until there's a ministry at the head of it. Amen. And we ain't going to bring a ministry to perfection until God get ready for it to. He may let this thing drag another year. He may let it drag two more years. One thing about He's going to do, He's going to shake off everybody that's looking for a crowd. He's going to shake off everybody that's looking for something glorious. Amen. He's going to shake. He's going to shake this thing and shake it and shake it and shake it. To some of you that's sitting here tonight, really, that God's not careful, I'll be shook off. Because you're looking for the wrong thing. Looking for the wrong thing. Amen. You want big crowds? You want playing fast music? That's all right. It's in its place. The Bible says there's a time to all things. Really? So there's a time to sing. There's a time to shout. There's a time to make merry. But it says there's a time to mourn. Oh, praise God. Amen. We can't have shouting every day, all the way. Amen. That's good. Amen. I like to shout. Amen. But some of these days, a lot of these people that want to go all the way on shout, they're going to wake up wondering what they're shouting about. Huh? Glory to God. Jesus said there's going to be a wise people at the end time. Glory to God, and the wise would understand, but the wicked would do more wickeder and more wickeder and more wickeder. Amen. Now we have some prophets recorded in the Word of God, New Testament prophets, that began to see their gifts, that began to see what they were to be done. Now let me make this statement again. The early church never did reach a place of complete and absolute perfection without heresy. It was in it all the way through, and when the apostles got off the scene, it got worse and worse and worse and began to go down. But God lifted it up again, right? See, it wasn't the plan of God for it to reach absolute and complete perfection. See? Because it was going to be seven long church ages and 2,000 years before the church goes out. Right? Amen. All right, now let's turn to the Word of God and see about some New Testament prophets. They were there. Sure. Amen. But everything in the book of Acts wasn't perfect. The ministry wasn't. But their ministering offices was in there. All right, let's read in, say, Acts 15. In the verse 32. Acts 15, verse 32. There was some prophets. Fact is, all the ministering offices was in the book of Acts. But not necessarily all of them was known. At least not until way over after the church had gone many years. 15th chapter now. Of the book of Acts. Let's read 15th chapter now. In the verse 32, as soon as we find here now. Acts 15. 15th chapter. All right, everybody got it? Verse 32. It says, and Judas and Silas being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Was there some prophets? Now what did the prophets do? His main ministry is to rise up and say, thus saith the Lord, and tell a certain thing that will happen in the area or to the people or some earthquake or drought or something. See, let's turn to here's two prophets recorded, New Testament prophets. Show you the difference between Old Testament. The Old Testament, the word come only to the prophets. See, but New Testament, they just emerged as part of the ministry. Can you see it, Brother Larry? Amen. All right, let's turn now to Acts 21. Acts 21 and 10. Listen. Acts 21:10, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come, now I want to show you what a minister of the prophet is. Alright, listen what a prophet did in New Testament time. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said unto them, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him unto the hand of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, we both, and they at that place, besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But listen what Paul says, that great apostle. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but to also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that, man? He said, don't you weep.
That means I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus Christ.
Are you?
Amen. See that?
Now, what was the ministry of this prophet? Show me where he ever brought forth any revelation out of the Word of God. He brought things for the church then. See, that's the ministry. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. Certain things going to happen, and it happened. But the apostle was the leader of that thing. Paul, over in Tennessee, I charge you. He's the one that had the authority, the apostle of the praise.
Right? Now look, brothers and sisters, when the minister get just right and every minister recognize the praise, they're going to recognize that apostle in the midst.
Brother, they're going to be submitted to that apostle. Not that apostle is going to be the boss and say, you go do this, you do that, you do that, do that. But brother, that apostle is going to bring forth and going to speak with authority, and the people, the other ministers, are going to know it's God. They're going to fall in line with it. Glory to God. Amen. This thing got five engines to it, but that apostle's out there in front, knocking everything out of the way that get in the way and establishing things as he goes. Right? That's the apostle. What did the prophet do? Well, in the church, he'll jump up every now and then and say, thus saith the Lord. Maybe a certain storm's going to take place. We need to get out of here, this, that, and other. Brother, it's going to be just like that. He's going to be part of the ministry. There's no woman a prophet, though. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Though they can prophesy, have the gift of prophecy, but it's got to come in divine order. Now, look. Amen. Just drop that in there. But look, the main subject, the main thought is, what was the ministry of this prophet? Did he go out and teach doctrine? Did he set any church in order, Brother Claude? Did he ever bring forth a church order? Only thing he did was prophesy about things that was happening. That was the ministry of that prophet. But what is the ministry of Old Testament prophet? Brother, everything come by him. Right? Because there ain't but one that the Word come to, and it's the prophet in the Old Testament. But brother, look where a prophet's at in the New Testament. As the book of Acts began to run out, these began to come in view, Brother Claude. See? Then Paul got the revelation that God was going to set five of them in there. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. And he would use these five to perfect the church, but he didn't do it in the first church age. See? But it would be restored back to the last day church after Malachi 4, come and restore back the faith of the children back to the Father. Can you see? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. My, see, it couldn't have come. People looking for Brother Brown to rise from the dead and get up and come back and perfect the bride. How about that? And see how contrary it is to the Word. He can't do it by an Old Testament prophet. It's got to be by a fivefold ministry. And it ain't going to be no fivefold ministry until the preachers quit trying to be a big shot, quit trying to be something, and try to lift up Jesus, lift His Word up. I want to show you who had the authority in the ministry. Now, the apostle didn't, I mean, the prophet didn't have it, the evangelist didn't have it, glory to God, but there was somebody, there's got to be a leader to this thing, Brother Claude. Amen. You know, people are like sheep, there's got to be a leader. Regardless what people want to say, there's got to be a leader. If there's a minister, Brother Larry, there's got to be somebody at the head of this ministry holding it straight, right? And Paul said, wherefore be ye followers of me? Somebody said, I thought we ought to follow Jesus. Come on, man. Praise God, the Paul said, follow me. Is that what he said, Brother Larry? Amen. Wherefore I charge ye, be ye followers of me. You know why? He had the authority of God. He was that apostle, right? And he was not only the apostle, he was the leading. He was not only the leading apostle that day, he was a church age messenger. Right? Now, that shows the authority. Now, who had the authority? I want this church to be wise so you can't be confused. See? But we are wise. We know in new dispensation, time, New Testament age, the Word don't come to a prophet to lead the church. It comes to an apostle. Show me anywhere in New Testament where it says follow a prophet. It's not there. Who you follow? The apostle. All right. Now, put it on the local scene, on the individual church, who are you to look to? As far as the individual church. See, in the main body, the church worldwide, apostles, prophecy, but in the local body, your pastor. But your pastor will be under the prophet. Or under the apostle, I'm sorry. Right? Amen. But when is this thing going to be made known? Well, it's just like this. When they come forth with new fords or chevrolets or something, Brother Larry, to cover them up. And they have a certain day they're going to show forth the new car. Amen. On that day, they pull the cover off of them. You can examine them, see what the headlights look like, and see what kind of steering wheel they got, see all about them. God's got appointed time. One of these days, he's going to pull the cover off. Amen. That apostle going to stand out there, that prophet, that teacher, that evangelist, and then the church going to line up behind him. Right? There ain't going to be no fuss, no bickering, no confusion. Amen. Brother, this thing's fixing to roll out of here. But it ain't going to move a peg till people get wise to get ready to line up. As long as everybody wants to get their own notion and everything, God's going to let her set. He's going to let all them fall away, and then what's left, he's going to say, come on, faithful little flock. Here's you some apostle, prophet, teaching and evangelist to get you perfected and get out of here. Amen. How many it's going to be? I would presume, by the way things look now, it won't be too many. But it'll be just as many as God ordained to be there. No more and no less. Amen. Is that right? All right. We'll only get one more scripture in closing. I could go on. We got more here. Maybe we'll get them in the book. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation 10 and 7 now and get that, and then we'll close out on it. All right. Revelation 10 and 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery, singular. I want you to notice that good now. Most people quote this scripture, when the seventh angel begins to sound, all the mysteries of God's going to be finished. That's not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. No such place. It says, the singular mystery will be finished. Look. Then the angel of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophet. Amen. Now, what is the mystery of God? Now, Paul was a great apostle, got a lot of revelation. But God didn't tell him this. God didn't tell Paul there's going to be 2,000 years, there's going to be seven church ages, that the world's going through a 1,000-year dark period. God didn't tell him that. And God hadn't told you everything yet either. And unless you're willing to walk with truth, you'll never make it. You're not perfected yet. Glory to God, you're not there yet. But you're on the right team to get there. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't, I'd close up out here. About that. Is that what we should do? Amen. I'm willing to do it. God knows I am. Willing to tack a lock on the door. Says, close up. Going to hunt truth. Put a sign on the Bible. Going to hunt truth. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because where truth is at, God's there. And when God's ordained something, set forth, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Amen. Now, the subject, an Old Testament prophet comes to a New Testament age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, Lord, we've done our best tonight to bring forth truth. God, I realize in the hour we're in, Lord, people are not too concerned about truth, Lord. But there's a few here and there, Lord, that just loves truth. It thrills their heart, feeds their soul. To hear the truth of the Word of God brought forth. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray, God, that you'll help the people open up their minds. God, that they may understand what was said here tonight. Lord, I realize there's people sitting in this congregation that don't know what was said. They don't know what you brought forth, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. But God, I pray you bless this, Lord. Help us get in book form, Lord. God, I believe the message comes from you. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you take it, use it, Lord, as you see fit. God, because your word says, my word will not turn to me void, but it will accomplish that which pleased me. God, I pray this message do all that you would have it do. In Jesus' name, amen.